Mufti Saab, hope you're well, inshallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Feeling good. And how's everybody in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, we're all good here on this side. Coping, and you know how it is, managing with the struggle. And that is every day striving to protect our iman. For many, we just, people are just ignorant of it, not worried, not bothered. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide each one of us. And with you, I almost said Malcolm X, because I see you've got your display picture. There's Malcolm.
Yeah. Malcolm X, yes.
Yeah, so Mufti Saab, how's everything on your side with the people around you, the spirit of iman in Pakistan where you are?
Well, common expression is pesa iman. If you have money, you have a little bit of iman. If you have no money, you have no iman. That's pretty much how it is with the common people, at least where I'm at.
Hmm. So if you, meaning basically, to some listeners who didn't get it, that if you, we base our iman on whether we have benefit or not. So if there's benefit, yeah, we have iman. If there's no benefit,
there's no iman for the person who has a Kali Jeb. If his pocket is empty, he's got very little iman. He does anything to fill that pocket with, money. That's pretty much it for the common man, for the people that are struggling from day to day. You can't tell them you can give them advice according to hadith and what have you, but they really don't listen to it. It's pretty much, you're talking out of the world. Mm. I'm able to say things, all right, and people, when they hear it, they normally just, dismiss it. Well, times are different now, okay? But I'm saying, well, wait a minute, brother. I'm telling you what's happening in my life. Mm. You know, I was not Muslim, and now I've become Muslim, and I had money, and just before I left, I was driving Mercedes, had two houses and everything. And then I came here and to Pakistan, trying to find a job and this and that. But I don't worry about it because I'm close to masjids. I can hear azan all the time. I can practice my religion. Mm. I'm not chasing after the money. And the people, they say, oh, you, they just don't understand it. I said, you can't be like that. I said, but I'm like that. What are you talking about? You see, I had an offer, a 34-year-old woman earlier this year, a 34-year-old woman who's a hafiza and an alima. And she had she was a widow. All right. She had one child, 4 years old. And everybody told me I should marry her. I said, brother, everybody that I know, all of my teachers and all of my classmates, people who study in the madrasa, the last thing we want to do is marry an alima. All right? She's got ego problems, okay? Feminist problems. I said, for 30 years I've been here, I said, no, I'll never marry one. Okay, so now I told you yesterday, the day before, I told you, yes, I'm engaged. I'm going to get married, inshallah, after Ramadan. And this woman can, she never learned to read, she never learned to write, adding and subtracting is terrible, okay, but she's a good woman. Okay, she can cook, she can clean, she can make roti, she can make chai. Of course, I'm happy. And people say, you're crazy, man, you left that one for this one? I said, yes, this one will make me happy. I believe, inshallah.
Gee, it is a worrying factor, and I think not just because, we face backlash and people say, but how can you make a statement like that with the alimas? Well, it's not just the alimas, it's as well we're facing the same similar crisis with the alims do. And why we can speak about it is because we may be in that particular field, whereas others, you wouldn't be able to say these things. And this is what we are seeing, that the ego problems, that, okay, we have this particular mindset that we can, it's sort of like we have this, what the Shias, they have these imams, and these imams, they can decide, they claim that they can decide what's legal, what's illegal. So by, I was just listening to a bit of a talk yesterday, and they said, this alim said, which was the truth, he said, today when you see all the fitan that is rolling out, so if I have a weakness in me, instead of addressing and fixing up my weakness, I'll just sort of seek how to tweak that particular thing, make it legal according to Sharia, so that I can move forward without having to deal with any guilt or any backlash from anyone, because I say I also have proof. But this proof was cooked up. So it's a similar situation as well. And the solution is not to say that we shouldn't, we should fix ourselves up. That's the solution. And unfortunately, this, just this, we many times we receive the statement or we receive a message saying, how can you speak about the alimas like this? Because Mufti AK Saab also addresses it. So he says, but I say to the alims as well, man qala huwa alimun fa huwa jahilun. Whoever says he's an alim, he's a jahil. If you consider, we are seekers, we are learning, we are students till we die, basically. But yeah,
you learn how much that we don't know when you go to the madrasa. Exactly. And that's what I tell the people. All right, I've learned so much about how I don't know. Subhanallah.
Exactly. Subhanallah. And if we think about it, the alim course that we do, it's just to equip you to become a good student for the rest of your life, because now you're able to read Arabic, you are able to do certain things. So now you're equipped with those qualities or those skills which you need to become a student for the rest of your life, basically.
Like the Sahaba were.
Yes.
Just like the Sahaba were.
Mm. Mufti Saab, so we have 5 minutes left. If you could just share with us, from time to time we ask you this as well, because there are many listeners as well who are not Muslim, but they are seeking as well. When you compared your life to before you were Muslim, and now as you are, you've said previously you had this lifestyle, and now you've given up, Allah Azza wa Jal accepted from you. But what could drive a person to that? I mean, if you take a rich person now, he's thinking in his mind, I'm going to lose everything here. And then what? When we find Muslims who have everything and base their confidence on what they have. So you telling me I must leave all of this, become Muslim, and then what's my future going to be like? What's your advice to such people?
Well, what's your future going to be like? And no one knows except for Allah, right? Allah says, and no one knows where they will die except for Allah. I look at it like you see the kuffar who have money and house, cars, etc. And they appear to be living good, all right? And we seem to be jealous of that. Every dominated group of people always looks up to the dominating people, you know, for their future, or for their, you know, their goals, their ideals. So when America's black people, okay, looking up to whites, in Muslim countries that were dominated by England or some other country, you know, we look toward them. I said, you know, if Allah can give Bill Gates so much money, okay, What are you worrying about when, if you have less? Because this is all he has. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked at the Prophet when he got up from the bed, and the marks of the bed were on his face, and Umar was ready to cry, you know, saying, look, the people in Rome and these other places, they have so much, and you know, you're the best person in the world, and look at how you're living. And so the Prophet said, oh, Umar, even you are thinking like this. You know, what they have, they only have for this world, but we'll get everything in the hereafter. So these hadiths and the stories of the Uliya that talk about zuhud, okay, not loving the world, okay, that's, I read a lot about that, and Maulana Desai has put a lot of that in the Majlis and in the Awakes and in other books of the Uliya. And that's just the way to be. I have that famous, that story that I always think about, where the man, he was a wali Allah, Allah loved him, but he didn't have much good deeds, all right? Okay, as an average person. And Allah told the angel to go break the olive oil, because he liked olive oil. And another narration was vinegar. So go break it, okay? If he can stay patient with the loss of the thing that he likes so much, I will raise his status in Jannah. So that's the way I think now, all right? When something bad happens to me, or on the surface it appears bad, I look at it as something good, because I'll be rewarded for it if I'm patient. You know, my wife has done a lot of bad things to me. And I people think I have every right to hate that woman. She tried to ruin my reputation. But I look at it as she is my reason for going to Jannah. Okay? Allah created her. She did bad things to me. I survived it. I was patient with it. And I believe I'll be rewarded for it on Qiyamah, and she'll be the reason why, or at least one of the reasons. If I go to Jannah, she'll be the reason why. So all the negative that comes at you, if you look at it like that, all right, Allah created that person to do this particular thing to you, all right? So if you deal with it in the Sharia manner and you're patient with it, then you'll definitely be rewarded. So when we think like that, inshallah, it will be okay.
Inshallah. Good advice, Mufti Sahib. Jazakumullah khairah. And that just reminds us of the Anbiya alayhi salam, that they are the cream of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much of difficulties didn't they go through with people of oppressive nature, Fir'aun and the rest, Abu Jahl for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they didn't take it in the negative. They took it in the positive. But we on the other end, as Muslimin as well, we have to address first, when difficulties smack us in the face, are we really looking at, do we have these negative thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we shouldn't be doing? So a great message, Mufti Sahib. We will meet you tomorrow again. Oh no, tomorrow is Jumu'ah. We'll meet you on Monday, inshallah. When is Black Friday tomorrow? I'm just confused.
We don't know what day of the week it is nowadays, us Muslims.
is Black Friday tomorrow? That's what I'm asking.
What day is tomorrow? The number 22?
Yes.
The 22nd of November?
22nd, yes.
22nd, so 15, 8, 1. Okay, so
yeah,
tomorrow. Today is Thanksgiving.
I think so, yeah.
So today is Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, yes.
Yeah. But I saw a motivational message yesterday from America, and there are people who want to ban it there, and they say that it's causing a lot of pollution and all the trade and everything, so they want to ban it. So we say, yes, we're with you. Ban it.
They want to ban everything. They want to get rid of the animals because of the, you know, climate change and all this. That's all they want to do. To add on what I had just said earlier, though, but if you read the story of Yusuf, okay, and you see what Yusuf did, alayhi salam, okay, what he went through from his own brothers, okay, and then the woman that he was, you know, like the servant to. All right, all these people did, the thrown in jail and all this. But at the end, did he have any animosity?
No.
None at all, right?
In fact, just to make things feel warmer, he said Shaitan was the cause of it. He was the one.
Yes.
So that they don't feel like, you know, so this.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, and tomorrow is Friday. It was revealed on a Friday, Surah Yusuf. Read that story again and again and see what that man went through. And SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. If he could go through like that with no animosity at all toward his brothers and toward everybody else, then who are we?
Exactly. Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairah. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.